relative.
Ah, yes.
Regarding my meditation,
yeah,
I'm aware that lying down, I'm definitely more relaxed.
Yes.
When compared to sitting,
yes,
sitting, I find that aware that there's more tension in sitting.
Yeah.
So should I just continue to lie down every time I sit?
Oh, it's up to you, because there are time to sit and there are time to lie down. It's up to you actually. If you want to train your mind, yeah, it's easier to be in the sitting posture. Where in the sitting posture, you can maintain what they call the awareness or any of this anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath. So sitting posture is more conducive. But later on, as you develop the ability to have this mind that is already so quiet, so peaceful, so clear, so quiet, and so tranquil, means you have developed the ability to go into stillness, which is paucity. During that time, if you continue in the sitting, then you find it very difficult to go into that time of free mind that is in the state of tranquility and stillness. Unless you know how to relax very well. And when you have the ability to relax so well, your whole of your body and mind is in a state of complete relax, even in the sitting posture. But because of your cross-legged posture, there will be energy built up without you realizing it. Then this energy built up actually restrict the flow of qi. That's why during that time you can, the mind that has the ability to become so quiet will finally drop to the heart place. Initially it's at the anapanasati until we become very subtle. Then finally, one day it will drop down to the heart base. Then you will stay there. Yeah, that is the location which is very near the gateway. Then from there you can detect it and go in. But when you lie down in the formal posture, which is the most relaxed posture as you have found out, that is a very important posture. Because lying down, you do not create any restriction or constriction in your flow of qi. Then chances of going into concentration is much, much lower, because this energy cannot build up. If you are in the cross-legged position, all of your energy field and qi, they will be building up without you knowing it. Then from your spine, it can go up to the brain. Then it can push it out and develop all the jhana. But if you are in the lying down posture, all this energy field, they will not build up if you know how to relax into it. The moment you relax into it, it will actually stabilize. Then after that, you become so quiet and so still until you are very sensitive. During that time, you will come to understand lying down posture is the best. Then if you can detect the gateway after you have become very quiet and very still, all your yin-yang energy last time that you have developed, wherever you have developed the mindfulness and you have stored up all the energy, even your qigong, your tai chi or tan tian energy, or even Wai Tan Kong or whatever you practice, they will all melt into that gateway. And during that time, the meditator or the cultivator, the form and mind that is in that state will understand. Because all this yin and yang energy, as it goes through the gateway, it will be transformed and purified into pure energy. And this is the pure energy that is already intelligent. That one, there is no thought behind. You just silent, relax, and aware. Then the last support is trust. You just silent and don't do anything, no thought. Then that pure energy will actually develop the internal movement. And the internal movement, a lot of people cannot understand because they never do it. And that is the real opening of all the nadis and chakra within your internal body. So all this will happen without any thought, without any direction or directive from the thought. Means there is no will involved, no mental intention involved, nobody doing. There is no effort involved. So that is the meaning of Krishnamurti's understanding. He said, wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. Wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. All this, the cultivator will come to understand. Then when this transformation happens, your mind becomes very still, very quiet, and very silent, very, very fast. Then after that, you can come out into daily life and maintain this state of awareness very easily. Yeah, by the time you can detect your gateway, you already very far in your progress of meditation. You already touch your nature. You already like winning the all. Understand what the true mind is. So meditation, the key to understanding meditation is posture is not critical. You can use any posture. Even in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Four Foundations, all the four postures, you can use it to meditate. But the real wisdom or insight come from daily life. After you have developed all this ability to be peaceful, to be quiet, to be aware, to be heedful, you have to come out into life and apply this state of mind, this mind state, which is awareness, mindfulness, to insight into phenomena, to develop the understanding of the Dhamma, especially to insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state, and non-self, then to reflect and contemplate through the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, to prepare your base for receiving truth. Then after that, any of the three turning, first turning, second turning, or third turning, they can awaken your nature. Because most of the time you are aware, silent, heedful, then it can trigger any time. Then after you have this initial wisdom inside, you can cultivate the real Noble Eightfold Path and Four Foundations of mindfulness in a more refined manner, deeper manner. Then after you have developed all this understanding born of daily mindfulness, you lie down and do your meditation again, it will be very different. So during that time, you will understand very clearly and you will know what to do. And then the lying down meditation has its purpose and function that time. Because to realize Nibbana, there are two types. One is the sainthood way, Sotapanna, or the first stage of sainthood, and Sakadagami, or second stage of sainthood, and the third stage of sainthood, then Arahant, the fourth stage of sainthood. So for the first two, or sometimes even the first three stages of sainthood, normally cessation happens only for a moment, momentary, one moment. But good enough. Yeah, that itself is the realization of Nibbana. That moment is enough to awaken. Especially the sata, what they call Sotapanna shape and Sakadagami shape. But for Anagami and Arahanta, normally you went in, you will go into cessation. The form and mind will go into cessation for a longer period. And during the early days, most of them do it in the daily life. Then there are some who develop samatha first. They went into jhana. They like the sitting posture. But they have to release out that energy field into normal awareness and go into daily mindfulness, develop the initial wisdom or insight. Then after that, sit again or go into the form of meditation to realize that cessation. Then sitting can also awaken you. So during the time of the Buddha, a lot do it in the sitting posture. But later on, those who understand, the lying down posture was the best. That's why the Buddha, before his parinibbana, he's in the lying down posture. Then when he rests, he is also in the lying down posture. And this lying down posture was seldom taught because living beings who don't have the ability to meditate that way, you fall asleep very fast. It becomes sleeping meditation, not lying down meditation. So that's why it was not taught. Then later on, very few people can understand. So because of that, it was hardly taught because very few people can understand. And very few people can do the lying down meditation. But those who understand, they will know the moment you can do lying down, you are already a very good cultivator. But lying down has its purpose because when you develop this second type of cessation of form and mind, when you go into this so-called cessation or nibbana, realization of nibbana or nibbana, in the lying posture, it can develop it very easily. Then you can go into it very fast. And it can stay there for quite a while. Then it depends. If you are ready and about to do, you have to develop some form of tactfulness because you have to let those who are around you understand what you are doing. Otherwise, they think you already dead. When you go into this cessation, you are really like a dead person. The only difference between you and the dead person is you won't become very cold. You won't become like the dead corpse, become still. And you will not rot. You will not emit those, what they call, foul smell. But you really got no habit. The brain, everything cease. No more activity, no more consciousness, nothing. The whole body and mind, like, you are no different from a dead person. Except that stillness, pure energy of Nibbana, that vibration, they are all within. And that being is in that state. So in order to prevent any confusion or what, it's advisable to let people know so that when you go into it, people will understand. But as far as I know, you don't have to worry. It's not easy to go in for a long period. It depends on your past cultivation. It depends on your understanding. Then it depends on how skillful you are. And most of these people, when they go in, they know when to come out. It's automatic. But you cannot predict where is the unconditioned. It will only come out at the time when the condition is there for it to come out. So all this is part and parcel of lying down posture type of meditation. So lying down are only to be done after you have trained your mind, after you have developed the capacity until very stable, after your daily mindfulness when you can do it. quite well. Then when you meditate, you will understand yourself, which is the most relaxed posture, which is the most conducive, appropriate posture, and then you can do it. Especially at night when you are at home, you have to learn to meditate in the lying down posture so that you can rest very well, so that when you arise the next day, you can become very fresh. Because human beings spend almost 1/3 of your time sleeping. If you sleep 8 hours a day, it's exactly 1/3. So if you sleep even 6 hours a day, it's already 1/4 of the time. So lying down posture, if you can understand and develop the ability to meditate, it will help you a lot. And finally, if you want to understand what is 24-hour meditation, you have to be skillful in the lying down meditation. Then you realize you can be mindful throughout the day. And 24-hour meditation is possible, where this nature of mind has done it before, during the early days. Okay? So it's up to you. Don't worry. Whatever that is more conducive, you only need to understand your focus. Do you still need to train your mind? If you already stay blind, no need to train your mind, then by all means, in whatever posture, because your spiritual faculty is already there, you already trained, then you can meditate, you can relax, you can silence, and you can develop whatever understanding you want. Means the form and mind is very clear to you. It is for you to use. You can use it to live life, to meditate, to develop understanding, and to cultivate. It's up to you. Then whatever posture that is the most suitable and conducive, you will also come to know. Whereby then, throughout the day, you are heedful, you are mindful. So there is no difference between standing, walking, sitting, or lying down. No different at all. Then meditation become like a part of your nature. You are in that state of heedfulness or awareness throughout the day. You don't have to rely on anything to be mindful. You don't need an object of meditation anymore. Then you come to realize that these are what they call initial skillful means to train the mind. And it has got nothing to do with meditation. It's just to train the mind to be mindful, to be heedful. And a lot of people cannot understand this. That's why that day I sent out one email. You all saw. I think somebody, one of the monks in SBS, I think, by the name of Bhante Kumara, I think he has been asked many times at many places what method he teach, what type of meditation he teach. Then he don't know how to answer them. And every time he answer them, he find it, the answer is like not so clear and not so adequate. Then later on, he came out with one understanding which he thought was very good. I try to get it from the email. I read it to you, then you all can understand. And maybe we discuss this, it's good. This will clear up a lot of things. That's why even monks, cultivator, they also not sure, not clear. And when I read about that email, I felt I should send it out to Kayanamitta for you all to develop the reflection and contemplation. Then only you all can understand. I try to locate it. Give me a minute. Okay. Okay, I got it already. So I read to you. This was the question. This was the email he put on the web where he sent it out to those recipient of SBS mail. Ah, yes, you can go, no problem. According to him, he said, from time to time, I have been asked this question, and I keep having trouble answering it properly. They want me to name it, and I don't have one for it. Usually, I resort to saying, I teach this, and I teach that. In that way, it can seem like I have a muddled way of teaching. Some time ago, it dawned upon me. I don't teach a method. I am not interested in that, he said. Instead, I teach people. I show them how to free themselves from suffering in the best way I know for them at that time. Every experienced teacher knows that every student is different. This one is, at least to a certain extent, is very good. He understands this. Then to think that one method fits all is unreasonable. He also understands that. Sometimes I conveniently fall back on some sort of standard method too. And that's when I am not operating at my best. See? He realized method actually restrict him. That's when I am not using discernment. And the result aren't so good result. Results are the best when I drop all ideas of method, pay full attention to the person, and let wisdom decide. So I don't want to use any specific method. But whatever method that is suitable, even if I have never used it before, that is one that occurs spontaneously to me. So next time I know how to answer the question of what method I teach. I try not to, is it? So this was his finding, which is quite interesting in the sense. So now we can open for discussion. What do you think, based on what he said? What is your understanding now? After you have developed all this cultivation and understanding, what are methods? What are techniques? He has a problem. You know why he has problem? Because if I'm not wrong, he went and studied Byron Katie. He also used Byron Katie's technique, the four questions. And he also shared a bit of the power of the now, Eckhart Tolle. So because of that, people ask him, what's your teaching? What method you teach? What technique you teach? He cannot describe. You know, because that one is not a method or a technique. You know. That one is more inquiry and understanding. So finally, he said, I don't teach method. He said, I teach whatever that can bring about discernment and understanding. So what is your comment or understanding on this? A lot of people don't understand what meditation is all about. So that's why it has become so confusing all this while. Then when I realized that about 20 or 30 years ago, I start to inquire, how can I explain all this to the seeker of truth or cultivator or so-called meditator or Dhamma friend? That's why it took me quite a while to bring forward the point. I have to start with what? Method and technique. Never what? Method and technique. What is method and technique? It never defines the meditation, isn't it? What is meditation as taught by the Buddha? What is the meditation as taught by the Buddha within the Four Noble Truths? Which is the meditation? What is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? he teach, the essence of his teaching is that the Four Noble Truths, isn't it? Which one is the meditation? Of the four, which one is the meditation? What is the First Noble Truth? The reality of life and existence, noble truth of dukkha, prevalence of, and this one has nothing to do with meditation, isn't it? It's just a noble truth, isn't it? Then what is the second noble truth? Explain to you the cause of suffering and the reason behind all those suffering. And it's also not a meditation. Third noble truth is what? Cessation of form and mind, which is nibbana in the here and the now, can be realized. So suffering need not be, because when you realize this enlightenment, it will lead to the cessation of form and mind, then no more suffering. So third noble truth also don't teach you how to meditate. It's also not a meditation. It just tell you that you don't have to suffer. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Then what is meditation? The thing that can bring about enlightenment, isn't it? Correct or not? And the thing that can bring about enlightenment is the one that can bring about the end of all suffering, isn't it? You meditate to develop wisdom to end suffering. Correct or not? So what is the fourth noble truth? The Buddha said there is a noble truth, which is noble eightfold path. If you cultivate them, they will lead to the end of all suffering. So this is the meditation, understand or not? Noble Eightfold Path. So a lot of people don't understand. And within Noble Eightfold Path, we have the four foundations of mindfulness. All the teachings are there. But the real teaching is Noble Eightfold Path. Then like in the last Satipatthana Sutta class, I explained very clearly again. And Ingby was the one who actually detected this and came to understand. That's why she purposely asked the question for the benefit of all. He said, Bertie, you used to tell us that this four foundation of mindfulness is just one of the Noble Eightfold Path factor. I said, yes. But yet the Buddha called it Ekayano Bhikkhave Bhikkhu, this is the only way. For the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for arriving at the right path, for the realization of Nibbana, namely the four foundations of mindfulness. I say yes, and I understand what you are driving at. The reason why I say it's only one of the path factor is I don't want people to misunderstand the Buddha's message. Because if you become complacent, and that is what is happening to the Buddhist community, they say, the Buddha said this is the only way, so they only teach vipassana, the four foundations of mindfulness. They think that is the only teaching. But if you really understand the four foundations of mindfulness, then it is correct. Means the Buddha is correct, and you are also correct. But if you interpret the four foundations of mindfulness, and you think by doing those things, you are doing vipassana, and you are cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness, then no. Because four foundations of mindfulness is very, very difficult to understand, very profound, very deep. And when you fully complete the four foundations of mindfulness, the last foundation, Dhammanupassana, the fourth foundation, the last category of cultivation, it talks about mindfulness of the four noble truths. You not only cultivate the four noble truths, you have to cultivate the three turning of the four noble truths. That's why the whole of the teaching is very different. Then when you have cultivated the three turning of the four noble truths, means you have cultivated also the fourth noble truth, which is the whole of the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why it is the same. It is included inside there. And when you understand, then the whole thing becomes clear. So if Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation, then I ask you one very simple question. What are method, what are technique? It's just a series of instructions to do things. Has it got anything to do with Noble Eightfold Path? Has it got anything to do with the meditation, the four foundations of mindfulness? It has nothing in it. It's a series of instructions to do something that end up training your mind. Just give me a minute. If you don't believe me, you go and check. All method and technique is a series of instruction to train your mind. And not necessary to be mindful. No? Those who do samatha train your mind to be in concentration, in jhana, in absorption, in samatha. It's only those who train their mind to develop mindfulness, that one is a skillful mean to develop the training of the mind to be aware. That's why mindfulness of in and out breath, which is anapanasati, is a training of the mind to be aware. That's why all these are skillful means to train your mind to develop certain ability, and they got nothing to do with meditation. That's why during the early years in India, a lot of this teaching of method and technique, especially the four meditation objects, they call it 40 samatha meditation object, or kamatanha in Thai and Pali, kamatana. These are objects of meditation to develop concentration. The 10 kasinas and all the various types of samatha meditation, concentration, energy field type of meditation. So if you do not understand, you end up training your mind to be in concentration. And the Buddha, everywhere in the teaching, advised you to train your mind to be aware, heedful. Strive on with heedfulness. He never says strive on to have a concentrated mind, to become, to have absorption or samatha. Samatha means energy field, one-pointedness and all things. He straight away remind the monk the importance of heedfulness and how you should train your mind to develop this heedfulness. That's why the four foundation of mindfulness start with mindfulness of in and out breath, mindfulness of the breathing, to train your mind to have this ability to be mindful of your breath. From your breath, you can develop the ability to be mindful of anything you do in life. That's why later on he teach the contemplative mindfulness, contemplation mindfulness, when you contemplate the anusati. And there are 10 types of anusati where you can develop mindfulness on, or contemplative mindfulness and wisdom on. After all this has been taught, a lot of Buddhist cultivators or teachers or even monks, they do not understand this point. That's how the confusion come about. So everywhere you go, they teach you how to meditate. They give you method, technique, and they tell you to do this, do that. And if you do it without understanding, you become gullible. You become trapped. That was the reason why I always start with, you must develop the meditation with understanding. Understanding means what? First phase of Dhamma, you cultivate the understanding of the teaching, pariyatti. You learn the teaching, study the doctrine through reading, through hearing, through reflection and contemplation, the first two turning. Then when you understand already, you look at the emphasis given by the Buddha, and then you cultivate from there. The first thing that he advises you is to train your mind to develop heedfulness. And you must understand what is heedfulness. To be heedful, according to Dhammapada verse 23, is to be ever mindful and constantly meditating. Means constantly cultivating the essential Dhamma to develop wisdom. And the most important essential Dhamma are the Four Noble Truths. Yet the other essential Dhamma are spin-off from the Four Noble Truths. So heedfulness is the most important. And to be heedful, you must train your mind to be mindful. Then only you can be ever mindful. then only you can use that mind state to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And this is the whole understanding. That's why daily mindfulness is the real meditation. And if these also people cannot understand, they will be wasting their time doing a lot of other things. If you understand this, your focus is very simple. First inquiry, are you training your mind to be mindful? Are the spiritual faculty there to overcome the hindrance? If they are not there, cultivate the spiritual faculty. Then train your mind to be aware, mindful. Then stabilize it. Then go into daily mindfulness. Then forget about all the method and technique. Then when you go to retreat, you will know what to do. When people ask you to sit, you will know why you are sitting. You sit there to train your mind. If you already trained, then no need to sit. Understand or not? In any posture, you can be mindful, aware, and heedful. Then why you still want to sit? It's like the Zen analogy, remember? Last time, the abbot, there was a stray dog that they had in the temple. Every time, meditation time, this dog ran around and barked around. So the abbot told the attendant, he said, next time before the meditation start, you tie the dog up so that it will not bark and not run around. And because of what he did, after the old master passed away, the student didn't know. They continued the practice. Until one day, the dog also passed away. Then they asked the new abbot. Then the new abbot asked the attendant, why did the old master tie the dog? He said, I don't know. He just instructed me to tie the dog before meditation. He must have a reason. They continued to look for another dog and bring it back and tie it up. That becomes the actual situation. Means it becomes so gullible. Means everything that the teacher do, no question, follow, that's it. That's why if you do it that way, you can never learn, you can never understand. Even the Buddha said, don't believe what I say, investigate into it. You have to investigate and understand why you do. When you understand why you do, you will not do it gullibly, you will not do it blindly. You will do it with understanding. That's why everything you develop and cultivate, you must do it with understanding. That is the wisdom that you must have. That is the understanding that you must have. Okay? So, method, technique, posture, not important. You must understand the teaching. What are you doing in the name of the teaching? You need to train your mind. Train. You have to write this down so that you become very clear. If you already train, no need to train, then don't have to waste time on that. Then your daily religious routine, your puja, is to develop the spiritual faculty, contemplative wisdom. Are you doing that? The five daily contemplation, are you doing that? So these are all part and parcel of your training. Then when you already mindful, stabilized already, are you using this state of heedfulness in daily life to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path or the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, leading to the understanding and the wisdom? If you do all this, very fast you will progress, and very fast your mind will transform. And this is the simple understanding, and yet very few people understand. That's why over the last so many years of teaching, I was actually really shocked. How can it be still this way after so many, many years of the sasana? 2,000 over years now. And all this teaching is supposed to be the true teaching that was passed down. And when it reached our this civilization, I realized it was already so watered down. The whole of the original teaching, the understanding was already, most of them were missing, not around anymore. So that's how the sasana can actually goes down and develop this, what they call, sad case or decay process. For the Dhamma to arise again, for it to flourish again, this understanding must be re-established, and there must be more and more cultivators who understand this understanding and develop the skillfulness to cultivate this way. Then when you strive on with heedfulness, with this understanding, you progress very fast. And the new generation of cultivator will be very different. They will understand very clearly. They will not go and waste time arguing over method and technique. They just, with clear understanding, cultivate. Now you understand. Yeah? So this big picture, write it down somewhere. Yeah? And if you all can, write it down, then we can summarize it for you. You pass to me, I will edit for you. You go back and write it all down. Based on what I have described to you all this while. Because it's very difficult for you to have that understanding if you don't write it down. It don't become a picture. So that the whole zigzag puzzle is very clear. When people ask you how you meditate, you straight away can tell them how you meditate. I meditate with understanding. But don't just quote Brother Theo. No. I meditate with understanding. Then people ask you, what you mean you meditate with understanding? Cannot reply. You go and listen to the tape. Or you go and read the book. Like that means you yourself also don't understand. Meditate with understanding means you know what you are doing. If you need to train the mind, you train. Because you understand the mind that has hindrance is not trained, heedless. That's why the hindrance are there. So I train. I train the heedless mind. I decondition the heedless thinking mind. Then after that, I stabilize it. Then I use method and technique as a skillful means to do it. But if my spiritual faculty is there, I don't have to do the training. I don't have to do that training. I can skip that. That's why you go direct into sati. When your spiritual faculty are there, the hindrance no more, you straight away, the mind silent, no need to train. The moment you silent your mind and sit or relax or lie down, you already aware. The sati is there, the silent mind is there, there is no more thought. Then in the midst of life, you already aware. If you have that type of mind state, you don't need to train. You only need to strive on with heedfulness, continue to develop the understanding. Then you will awaken. Okay? Hopefully now it's clear. Otherwise, the same question will keep on coming back. And the most common one is, 6:04 already. Sorry, we have to end. The most common one which most people ask is, but until I meditate like that, I have experienced it, I do this, I do that. Is it correct? The same question coming back. Miss, you don't understand. You don't want to find out. You keep on asking. Off and on, you have this problem. Testing. The contact is not good.
Okay, lady.
I think you have to buy another head. Buy this head.
This head? Okay.
This one, because after some time, the contact is no good. So this head have to go and buy. You can.
I'll get another mic.
No, because you turned down the volume just now. Okay, now it's okay. This one, because the contact, after a while, there's like a coating. Even your car battery, same. If long time you don't use, there's a coating around the terminal. You cannot start your car. And that one very easy to do because battery is not like this one. This one is very sensitive. The battery, normally what I do is I take off the terminal last time. Then I sandpaper. or I just use something sharp to like what you call that the falling one, to fall it. Then I lock it back. It start straight away because the contact. So when you have this contact problem, you will have sometimes the distortion sound, sometimes the voice from the mic completely, like you say, die off. It's not die off, it's not connected. It's like your consciousness not connected. Okay, so hopefully with this understanding, you all can develop the clear understanding of what the teaching is all about. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits, transform merits. Then hopefully this book, a final summary of Satipatthana Sutta, it should come out before the end of next week, I think. But very likely it will be beginning of next week, because the printer is supposed to print it last few days. I don't know whether they have completed it or not. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Then now you can make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakya Muni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.